Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for MyLowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you're having a great summer. And if you catch a wild hair and want to beat the heat, maybe sit in front of some AC and pen out a listener story, I would be delighted. I love hearing your stories and they can be anything. In fact, I came up with a new kind of, you know, idea or a prompt for you, if you will. Because we've been gold panning on our property, granted we've found like four flecks of it and who knows, but it just makes me get excited about, like, have you ever come across a piece of treasure or found money hidden somewhere? Or maybe you just won money on FanDuel, or that's maybe just my journey. Ever heard of sprinkle bets? 15 cents to win $100. Boop, boop. God, I could start a FanDuel club here. I don't know. If you guys want some betting advice, it's just called not doing anything with any real intention. You just sprinkle 15 cents, maximum 50 cents around. I will not bet anything that is more than I have, like, random change in my purse or truck or whatever. So anyways, that's my journey. All jokes aside, though, I am super into family secrets as well. Family heroes, friend heroes, things like looking back that we should not have done that we learned from. And I have plenty of those as well. So no shame in that. But, you know, just creepy encounters, you know, things where you're like, why did I walk home in the dark? That wasn't wise. And then someone pulled over next to me. Creepy near misses are always a win. Well, not really a win, but you get the point. Anyway, send us anything you would tell around a campfire. So now for the case. This is a story that I remember hearing about so vividly. I can visually see her face still in my mind, but I never remember finding out what the resolution was. And that might have been because I was in junior high, I think, at the time. But it was still something I remember being talked about so much. It was all over the news. And if my parents had the TV on, she was always on the forefront of any news channel. And if I saw a magazine at the grocery store, the face of Chandra Levy was on the front page. That was until 9/11 happened. Chandra went missing in May of 2001. And her story was all over the news media, every night. In fact, the day of September 11, 2001, Gary Condit's son, and we will go into Gary very soon, and Chandra's parents were both headed to daytime news programs, one to Oprah, one to The View. But when 9/11 happened, both appearances were canceled, and people turned their attention toward the horrible tragedy of 9/11. Chandra's story is still unbelievably senseless and tragic, and it's a case that is still not officially solved. And a case that is perhaps the most famous, at least in terms of an affair and murder in D.C., but actually not the only one. Though not involved in an affair, 2 years earlier, Joyce Chang was also found dead. She worked for similar government agencies, she lived in a similar neighborhood, and it really sparked concern that, is there a serial killer out there?
The prosecution discovered that they didn't really have a witness. It's a circumstantial case. They suddenly don't have a case. So out of the blue, this conviction was dropped, the case was dropped, and now we are back again to wondering what happened to Chandra Levy.
I'm man who grabbed headlines in the early days of the Chandra Levy investigation. The sex scandal with then-Congressman Gary Condit is still having an impact on the case.
Serving time for attacking two other women in the same area of Rock Creek Park where Chandra's remains were found. California Congressman Gary Condit, with whom Chandra was romantically involved.
Condit was cleared as a suspect in Chandra's murder. An undocumented immigrant from El Salvador was later found guilty, but the conviction was overturned.
And to this day, Chandra's exact cause of death remains unknown.
This is the story of Chandra Levy in the alleged political affair with Gary Condit that I believe was not at all connected with her death, but people ran with that story so much that it likely took an unfair toll on Gary. Granted, affairs are not great, but being accused of a murder you didn't commit can be so damaging to a person's life, but I will let you decide. Chandra's story eventually ended in an arrest, at least temporarily, but that man has since been released and cleared of charges, so what happened to Chandra Levy? Let's first start with who Chandra was. Chandra was born April 14, 1977, to Robert and Susan Levy. She was outdoorsy. She was fit. She wasn't super girly, didn't take a lot of time with her makeup or hair or outfits. She just wanted to be strong and fit, and perhaps that's why she was eventually interested in criminal justice. She would hang outside the Modesto Police Department and eventually must have convinced him to allow her to go on ride-alongs. She was beautiful, and one of the photos that circulated of her is kind of like a 1990s modeling shot. She's kind of like leaned over in like jeans and a white tank top. She was a beautiful girl. She wasn't girly, but she was a natural beauty, and she was smart as hell. She attended San Francisco State. And then as part of her final semester of study, she moved to Washington, D.C. to become a paid intern with the Federal Bureau of Prisons. She was assigned an internship at that point. And it was in Washington, D.C. where she met Gary Condit. Chandra was 23 and Gary was 53. So who is Gary Condit and why is he so important to this story? Well, obviously, there's an alleged affair, but we will go into that more in a second. Gary was born on April 21st, 1948, in a tiny town in Oklahoma. And as typical as it could possibly get, his dad was a preacher. In an article on CNN, his cousin is quoted as saying, "Woodland Junction was just basically a small country store. The only thing else that was there was a school and Little Rock Church. That was it." His dad, being a Baptist preacher, they practically lived at the Little Rock Church, where he reigned at the pulpit. Gary and his siblings, as well as their mother, were always at the church supporting their father. They lived next door to the church, and Gary attended high school, where he met his future wife, Carolyn. After falling in love with his high school sweetheart, his father ventured west to California and started a new congregation there. Gary then became a California boy. Gary went on to work in a factory, but he began his political career in 1972. After receiving his bachelor's degree from a nearby California State University, he became almost a mini-god here in the political sense, said Jeff Benzinger, editor of the Cirrus Courier. He had the reputation of being the hometown boy that made good. And the city council agreed with his sentiment. And 2 years later, Condit became mayor, one of the youngest in California history. Soon after, he became a father for the second time when his daughter was born in 1975. So cut to D.C. in the early 2000s. Chandra is excited. She's a fresh-faced young girl moving to D.C. for an internship. She's ambitious. She was there with a friend from USC. And to earn their degrees, the students needed to complete an internship. So the two decided to go visit Capitol Hill. Chandra had already had an internship secured, but her friend had not. So the plan was to make the rounds to see if they could find an internship for her friend. So they hit the offices closest to their hearts, the offices of the California senators and congressmen. So normally the actual congressman is not going to greet the two fresh-faced young interns or aspiring interns, but Gary Condit happened to be there that day. And can you imagine the glee that Chandra and maybe her friend may have felt when their actual congressman was the one to greet them and then take them on an almost hour-long tour of the building. And then he takes a photo with the two young girls. And that's where that chance meeting began, the affair between Chandra Levy and Gary Condit. So allegedly, they begin an illicit affair. And during this time, Gary requires her to be so secretive of their comings and goings, because he has a lot to lose, that allegedly he would tell her not to bring her ID when they went out, and they would have to go out to dinner or wherever, you know, miles from D.C. Another hoop he allegedly made her jump through was if she was visiting his condo and someone else got onto the elevator at the same time that she did, he would tell her, get off on a different floor. He did not want anyone. He was very, very secretive about his affairs. And when I say affairs, there's more than one. Apparently, he was having an affair with another woman during the time that he was having the affair with Chandra. So let's cut to the time where Chandra goes missing. You see, her internship was cut short because of a technicality. She was already had graduate school credits, and so they could not pay her for the kind of undergrad program that she was in. So she needed to leave D.C. and fairly quickly. I will also make note of this. Her parents didn't necessarily know that she was in a relationship with Gary Condit, nor did they really know of him. She had a very close relationship with her aunt, and her aunt did know. And very much confirmed that Chandra was in love with him, that he had said at certain points he was going to leave his wife, you know, just all of the things. Her parents did not know, but they put the pieces together shortly after her disappearance. So she gets kind of canceled from this internship. And then she cancels her gym membership around April 30th. And April 30th of 2001 was the last time she was seen physically. It was her canceling her gym membership. She had then put in the call to her landlord saying that she's going to move out by the 5th or the 6th of May. She started packing her bags. She had all the plans to leave DC. So her internship has ended, and she was supposed to move out of her apartment and head home around May 5th or 6th. And like I said, she even canceled her gym membership. So her parents are calling her and they can't get a hold of her. And finally on the 5th, they report her missing. And then on the 6th, the police do a welfare check. When the police do a welfare check, it's very eerie. She has dirty dishes in the sink. Her suitcases, boxes are half packed. It looks like she's planning to return, yet hasn't. And she's still on her parents' cell phone plan, and they're able to pull up the records. And they see that she calls this number many times, ingoing, outgoing. And they discover that the calls are going to the office of the congressman, Gary Condit. Gary was a former congressman for the state of California, and he split his time between California with his wife and kids, and then in D.C., where he kept a condo. Her parents speculated that they were having some sort of affair, but it was confirmed, like I said, by her aunt, who she was very close with. What's funny, I mean, maybe not so funny, is that Gary was one of the most vocal opponents or critics of Bill Clinton when he had his affair with an intern, and said that he needed to come out with every detail or else the Democrats could not trust him ever again. Well, pretty interesting. To this day, Gary Condon doesn't necessarily admit to having an affair with Chandra Levy. He just refuses to really address it. He gave $10,000 towards the fund of helping to find her when she went missing, but he's very, very elusive about it. So when the police do a welfare check of Chandra's apartment, they find that it just seems like she just up and vanished. Unfortunately, they made a big mistake, and they did not ask for the security footage from the landlord or the building manager, and as protocol, they delete them after a week. So when it was just kind of like a casual welfare check, they didn't go above and beyond and ask for that footage. So then when they went back a week or so later, really, you know, hands in the dirt trying to figure out what happened to Chandra, footage was completely deleted. They then go on her computer. They can see that she had had various searches on there. One was to Gary Condon's office. One was to Baskin and Robbins. They had like a free scoop day because she was a very innocent kind of kid. She didn't really drink. She didn't really smoke. And Gary Condon has a quote about that. She didn't do drugs. She was a vegetarian. Like, she was very frugal. But she was, I mean, seemingly a very innocent kid. Anyway, additionally on her search was Rock Creek Park, and it was like running trails. So she wanted to be a very fit person, and this is all, you know, we're just assuming here. She'd canceled her gym membership. Maybe she wanted to go for a run specifically on that trail because she, before she left DC, you know, or maybe she was going to meet someone. It's still up in the air to this day. So they find this on her search history. Yet what no one knows is that people are calling her over and over again, leaving voicemails, her parents. And there are two voicemails from Gary Condon that are quite telling.
The voicemail you're about to hear is from disgraced former Congressman Gary Condon.
6:30, I haven't heard from you.
He's leaving a message for Chandra Levy, the D.C. intern who was found slain in 2002.
Maybe you're out of the country or something. Anyway, give me a call to pick up this message.
For 15 years, Condon has refused to say if he had an affair with Chandra. Just last week, he was asked about it again on Dr. Phil.
Why is it you will not answer publicly whether or not you had a sexual relationship with Chandra Levy?
I haven't, you know, answered that question publicly for 15 years, and I'm not going to change my position or my view on that today or probably any time in the future.
But the voicemails, obtained exclusively by ABC's 2020, seem to confirm what many people have long believed, that Condon and Chandra had a personal relationship.
Give me a rundown on kind of what your schedule is. Things are looking pretty good for me today. Anyway, bye.
Unfortunately, another thing that the police screwed up on was that they were searching where the roadways to Rock Creek Park were, not the trails. So she had searched for running trails or hiking trails or whatever, and they searched within 100 yards of the roadways, opposed to the running trails she had actually searched for. So they're looking 100 yards off of the roadways when Chandra was actually found almost a year later. She was about 100 yards off of the running trails. On May 22nd, 2002, a man walking his dog in Rock Creek Park. On May 22nd, 2002, a man walking his dog in Rock Creek Park, an area where Levy was known to go jogging, reported finding a skull. Dental records later confirmed that the skeletal remains were Levy's. The mystery of her death still remains unsolved. Her case went cold. However, in September of 2001, D.C. police and federal prosecutors were contacted by the lawyer of an informant held in a D.C. jail who claimed to have knowledge of Chandra's killer. An informant, or a jailhouse snitch of sorts, said that Guandique, who was a 20-year-old undocumented immigrant from El Salvador, confessed to him that he had killed Chandra Levy. Guandique had already been formally charged with attacking two other women on the Rock Creek Trail, the same trail where Chandra's remains were found. And Guandique failed to show up for work on the day of Chandra's disappearance. His former landlady also recalled that his face appeared scratched and bruised around that time. The investigators on Chandra's case did not interview the other Rock Creek victims. However, Police Chief Ramsey avoided calling Guandique a suspect and described him as a person of interest, telling reporters not to make too big a deal about it. Guandique denied attacking Levy. On November 28th, the FBI had the informant take a polygraph test. So that's the jailhouse informant that apparently blew this whole thing wide open. And that informant failed. A polygraph test on Guandique, administered on February 4th, 2002, returned inconclusive results that were officially ruled not deceptive. At the end of the day, Chandra Levy's murder is not solved. Guandique was eventually extradited to El Salvador. All charges were dropped, despite him having attacked the other two women in that Rock Creek Park. But it's very confusing. There is still no resolution for Chandra Levy's murder. So, Greg, what's so crazy about this story, and again, it's still unsolved. My personal belief is that I don't think Gary Condon had anything to do with it, and I don't even want to throw his name out into it, but
really,
I don't know. He also handled it so weird afterwards, but I don't know. It's very, very, very sad for Chandra Levy's family and for her legacy and for her. I don't know. I mean, what I don't know. What do you believe?
You want my hot take?
I do.
Are you ready for my hot take?
Yeah.
So, first off, I think that any time a politician is a suspect and they act at all sketchy or shady or weird, they gotta be responsible in some way. Allegedly. But what I really think might be the truth behind all this matter is that the El Salvadorian man is also responsible. I think potentially he was hired. You know, I mean, there was
a hired hit? I don't know.
There was this internship deadline. Why would an internship ever feel like, you got to get out of here, you got to get out of the city?
Well, no, it's because
seemed like there was undue pressure.
Well, I don't know. I think it is because she already had like certain credits that didn't.
Hold on.
You do make some sense there, though, because it is a little bit strange because her aunt, who she was very close with, said that Chandra was like obsessively in love with him, like super in love with him. She wanted to get married, have a baby. They had a 5-year plan where he was going to leave his wife.
And it's like,
well, yeah, now that you say that, though, once the internship was not, yeah, like once that was, you know, null and void, like, why was she willing to just leave? But you have to remember, though, too, she could have probably seen him in California at any point because he's from the same town. So he's from Modesto, essentially, or near there, but had a condo in, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously plausible, possible. But I just want to know why there was this, like, got to get out of Dodge, get the hell out of D.C., like, weird impending time-sensitive deadline that she had to be out of the city. It was like, your college credits are all going to go away if you're not out of the city by midnight tomorrow.
And you have to think about,
that's
too.
That's how it felt, at least.
What's weird, too, is that his wife came into town.
Okay. See?
So his alibi was that his wife was in town. They had dinner. And he had his Dick Cheney, you know, conference call or whatever the hell they did, besides shake hands and embarrass themselves.
He had his dick in a Cheney.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, it is a really enduring mystery of, like, I can't put my finger on what could have happened.
Let it be known that I don't think there's any world, even if Condit was guilty or not, that his hands were actually involved in the murder and disposal and disappearance of...
You're claiming that?
No, I don't think there's any way that would have been the case.
Like, yeah, I don't think it was.
Because he's a politician, it would have always been a hired hit situation in my mind if he was allegedly involved in any way. But the El Salvadorian guy just seems... I mean, yes, okay.
But he attacked two other women in the same...
I know. Who says those weren't hired hits? Who were those other two women potentially, like, paralegals or pages in the government buildings?
We're speculating a lot of stuff now.
A lot of speculation here. You can count on me for that. It's all alleged, and it's all my opinion, and it's all probably false, so no one get too upset about it.
I really do not think that Gary Condon was involved. My really? Gut says... No, I don't...
He's a politician. I don't trust
him. Although he had... With his very specific ways of, like, hiding the affair, God, he is calculating. I don't know, but I don't want to, like, place blame.
At the very least, I feel like he may have been responsible, allegedly, for a threat that made her feel like she had to get out of D.C. quick. Like, he's like, you need to be out of this city by, you know, whatever, or my office is gonna...
Well, here's the other weird thing. Tell that me. I have not said yet.
Oh, no.
She had said to her aunt that, I don't know the correct wording exactly, but she has basically big news for her, and she'll tell her when she sees her next. Big news. And so they had kind of, I think her aunt had speculated that maybe she was pregnant or something, but I mean, that's just like high, you know, speculation. But like, man. She had said, I will tell you when I see you next or something. Big, big news. And the aunt knew that she was dating Gary Condit.
It's definitely related to that relationship. I mean, you were already telling me, or me, telling our audience, I'm also just listening, that, you know, she was a pretty straight-laced girl. You know, she's like, you know.
She was a good kid.
Her Friday night kicks were going to Baskin-Robbins, yeah. Trying out the new flavor or whatever. Like, it's not like she was... partying. It's like the most important thing in her life was clearly this relationship with this older man. Like, that would be the thing that would create big news for her, is how I'm interpreting her at the time.
Yeah, and I think she seemed thrilled. Like, the photo of her when she... So her and her friend, I think it was Jennifer Baker, when they meet him for the first time. So she'd already secured her internship. Jennifer had not. And they were, like, kind of trolling the streets of the Congress buildings or whatever they...
just trolling Congress.
Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, just being, like, street walking cheetahs. You know, whatever. That's a joke.
street walking cheetahs.
But just, like, you know, just... But I think they were genuinely so innocent and sweet. Like, just, like, excited. Like, this is...
Exactly.
Let's do
That's
the
why
right
they were
thing.
The
let's
perfect
do the right
prey.
Thing. Yeah.
A congressman just can't help himself when he sees an innocent, actually pure-hearted individual in Washington. They stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, and I think she genuinely was just like, And so the photo, so they take this photo, and she looks so... It's kind of heartbreaking. It's very heartbreaking. She looks kind of like, I can't believe we're here. I can't believe we've made it. This is amazing. And that's a perfect person to prey upon.
You know what upsets me? When did congressmen become, like, rock stars? Like, why are they cool to sleep with? They should be dorks.
Like, this he is a dork.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, no girl ever, at any high school was like, okay, maybe there may be a few.
It's power. Come on.
But, like...
You're not an idiot.
Anybody in student government was never never like, oh God, you know, it's the quarterback. It's the lead singer of the cool band in your grade. You know, it's not the guy who's like running for class president.
Here's the thing. Gary Condit actually didn't even show any interest in politics until he was like working in a factory and it was around Vietnam time, something. And
so he heard CCR. He was like, yeah, there's something going on here.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a change. Yeah. And then he realized that with a little bit of power comes a lot of control.
Yeah. I think it's all making sense.
I mean, yeah, I see the trajectory. But still, this is a very weird story. Very weird that there could be an El Salvadorian immigrant with absolutely no motivation or personal connection to the woman claiming that he did it and then fails a lie detector test. That makes me think that he did do it.
But...
or knew somebody who did it, but he didn't actually feel wholeheartedly responsible, and that's why he read negative on the lie detector test, because he was paid to do it.
Maybe. What the jailhouse informant, there's so much information out there, but one of the jailhouse informant that he confided in, apparently he, Kudike or whatever, said that he was, you know, struggling with like drugs and abuse and abuse of his actual wife.
He had a wife too?
Wife or girlfriend, sorry.
This dude's like doing all this before 18.
Hold on. He claims that he was just on like a drug like kick and was going after people. So one of the sources that I read said that he told this jailhouse informant that he never intended to necessarily kill Chandra Levy. He was going to maybe rob her for whatever, for jewelry so he could buy drugs, blah, 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 blah. But he made sure to tell this guy, I never intended to rape her, because in, you know, obviously in prison, jail, whatever, like, rapists are
okay. Hold on.
They're going
to
be.
You said he never intended to, but did he?
He did not rape her. I don't think. Yeah, no. But he wanted to make it clear
that he didn't.
That was not his intention. He admitted to this jailhouse informant that he maybe killed her, or accidentally killed her, or did kill her. I don't know. But wanted to make it clear that he did not rape her, because that is, you know, a bad thing.
Okay, Mr. Criminal, thanks for sharing your ethics with us. Oh, I killed her, but I didn't rape her.
Yeah, but then all the charges were dropped, so who knows?
Very strange. One thing is definitely for certain. Those D.C. police need a little bit of search and rescue. Let's even call it like hide-and-go-seek training. I mean, for goodness sakes.
Hide-and-go-seek.
What? How does her body... It's 100 yards off of a trail. Like, would there would be vultures and ravens and, like, bugs.
That is shocking. What? That is shocking.
A year later? And then it's shocking. Like, she's clearly, like... I don't think that's all decay. I think it had to be other, like, natural, you know, biological things, taking care of all of that stuff to get it down to a skull. It just crazy to me that in a year's time a guy just found a skull. It's like, oh, no records, you know, we don't know, can't see if there's any bruises or beating or lacerations or any evidence at all. Maybe it was even dumped there.
No, I think they just screwed up that much, honestly.
I think Condit might have it in with the cops and said, hey,
maybe,
guys, if you're looking for anything over the next 2 weeks, why don't you just look the other direction and have a couple more donuts.
This feels very Gilgo Beach. Very long.
Very Gilgo Beach.
Yeah, just like, well, maybe.
Except it's D.C.
I don't know.
Man, oh man. Well, everything I just said is definitely alleged and only my opinion. And so, there you have it.
I love you. Thank you for participating in this. And rest in peace, Chandra Levy. It is so sad, and for her parents,
also,
so sad.
Also, I gotta cut you off. One very last thing. I find it crazy that I never had heard of this story.
I can't believe you've never heard of it.
You were like, remember this one? I'm like, no, not
I said it to
even...
Tom and Natalie earlier, too, and yeah. They were like, they didn't know.
That's the other thing. I mean...
I knew her face so distinctly.
Condit's office definitely did a great job at PR covering all this up.
No, he's gone out.
Or somebody's.
He wrote a book about this.
He wrote a book?
Yes. No, it's...
All right, well, then I don't think he did it. If he wrote a book, he's either the cockiest killer of all time, or it really must have stressed him out, and he's not responsible.
Yeah, I who knows?
Again, only my opinion.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I feel like we've been doing these, like, we did Natalie Wood. We did, what was the other one we did right after that? Phil Hartman, Chandra Levy. Now, like, very high-profile cases that... some have been solved. I mean, the Phil Hartman case was solved, obviously. But yeah, Natalie Wood, Chandra Levy, we're dipping our toes into
unsolved popular deaths.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Please send us your listener stories. We love you so much. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star rating and positive review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Bye.
Goodbye. Thank you.